wind shook off all the sand and glitter, though the sparkle never completely dissipates, I logged onto Facebook to share my glorious photos. Giving away my age here, I realize, not Snapchat, not Instagram, Facebook. And that was when I saw the post in my newsfeed. An acquaintance, a local mom of two teenage girls, announced her family's drive to collect donations of tampons and pads for the low-income patrons of our community food pantry. Their project was aptly, simply named, Girls Helping Girls, period. I was immediately captivated and curious, and honestly, even mildly ashamed that I'd never ever considered this before. A self-aware, self-professed feminist, I've marched on Washington over the decades for women's rights, volunteered as a rape crisis advocate and an abortion clinic escort, and worked professionally as a lawyer and writer for social justice organizations all of my adult life. How had I managed to completely overlook this most basic issue? If periods could be a hassle for me, someone with the means to have a fully stocked supply of tampons, it was nakedly painfully obvious that for those who are poor or young or otherwise vulnerable, menstruation could easily poke a real obstacle and problem. I had to know more. I spent the rest of New Year's Day and well into the night obsessively scouring the internet to see what more I could find. Here's what my Google search on the first day of 2015 turned up. It took some digging, but there was indeed reporting about the lack of access to menstrual products and adequate hygiene facilities in countries like India, Nepal, Kenya, Uganda, Bangladesh, and other places. Enough so that it has been recognized as a public health and human rights issue by the United Nations and the World Health Organization. The key culprits named included a combination of extreme poverty, lack of health education and sanitation, and an enduring culture of taboo and shame. Stories of creative enterprise and innovation to tackle this problem were prevalent, too. Coverage of menstrual access issues for the poor in the United States was minimal, though there was one story that stood out. A few months prior, in August 2014, The Guardian published one of the first mainstream articles to explore the feasibility of subsidized or tax-exempt menstrual products. The Case for Free Tampons by Brooklyn-based author and columnist Jessica Valenti. She wrote, "Menstrual care is health care and should be treated as such. But much in the same way insurance coverage or subsidies for birth control are mocked or met with outrage, the idea of women even getting small tax breaks for menstrual products provokes incredulousness because some people lack an incredible amount of empathy, and because it has something to do with vaginas. Affordable access to sanitary products is rarely talked about outside of non-profit organizations, and when it is, it's with shame or derision." That sounded right along the lines of what I was starting to think, too. A few more clicks revealed that her ideas had triggered a barrage of vitriol. And yes, it clearly had something to do with vaginas. Outraged conservatives fired back across the internet. Among them, former Breitbart editor Milo Yiannopoulos, the same right-wing provocateur who was later permanently banned from Twitter in 2016 for unleashing an abusive tweet storm at actress Leslie Jones, lost a major book deal in early 2017 for prattling approvingly about pedophilia and proudly sports T-shirts with phrases like, "Feminism is cancer," derided Valenti's column as a volley of provocation, misandry, and attention-seeking from the far left in a political atmosphere that rewards women for demanding more free things. Valenti captured some of the many hundreds of crude responses on Storify, perhaps most neatly summarized by this tweet. "If you're so worried about tampon availability, maybe you need to stick a few fingers in your you-know-what to stem the bleeding." Yeah, we know what. I guess that's kind of the point. As for any systematic attention to the scope of this issue as a domestic matter, none at all. What I unearthed amounted only to an occasional, singular blog post or lone call for donations by a local shelter or food pantry. Nothing that attempted to narrate, quantify, or formally document the potential problem, or, more disappointingly, even sought to identify or acknowledge it as one.